Paul, what do you think we're going to talk about on the intro to this week's episode?
I have absolutely no idea.
What do we talk about in the beginning of every episode these days?
Is it Beganuary?
No. I went back to the movies.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Let's check in on Tony's movie going.
I went to go see Knives Out for a third time.
I still have not seen this movie at all.
And I made it all the way through.
Yeah.
And here's what I'll have to say.
All right.
I was really excited for the movie to be awesome for the parts that I had previously been asleep.
Yeah.
And at the end, I was like, it was kind of good.
I'm sure that the way that you watched that movie in three installments is not the way that Rian Johnson intended for that movie to be seen by the audience. But that's how it goes sometimes.
So the saga is complete. I have seen Knives Out. That is my update.
And now let's start the show.
This is Late Beams.
Here on Hometown Sounds. Dear friends, welcome back to another episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast. What do we do on this show, Tony?
We show you how DC rocks.
I'm Paul Vodra.
I'm Tony Parecco.
And that was Light Beams with a new song called Sacred Scales. It is from their new album, Self Help, and it is out on January 31st on Don Giovanni Records. I've been super excited for this album to finally come out. And man, you guys are going to love it when you hear it. The whole thing is amazing. Lightbeams is Justin Moyer of many, many bands, including Edie Sedgwick, Arthur Knoll of Alarms and Controls, and Sam Levine of the Cornel West Theory, who also recently produced the documentary Punk the Capital, which I have not yet seen, and I really hope I get a chance to soon. It's now playing at like various clubs and cinemas and stuff like that. So I don't think it's out like on Netflix yet, but probably soon. So here's some text that Lightbeams has given to us to tell you about. Problem: traditional rock groups try to generate excitement at live shows with loud guitars, but after 70 years dominating popular music, the guitar era is over, and its graying progenitors fussing about with their boutique amplifiers and Eansy pedals are an aesthetic crisis. Meanwhile, hip-hop production, disruptive, innovative, incredibly exciting, has already defined the 21st century, but the genre's reliance on canned backing tracks means live shows sometimes lack energy and spontaneity. One solution: Lightbeams, a DC trio that uses samples and a live rhythm section to write songs about staying positive. No computers, no set list, no dudes staring at screens on stage, making music that reduces you to staring at your screen off stage. Instead, voila, music that makes you move, makes you feel good, and never ever overstays its welcome. And you know, that last little bit there, one of my favorite things about Lightbeams and Justin in particular is that when they are finished performing their set, within about 30 seconds, they're gone. They pack up their gear and they are off the stage.
That's really impressive because I am terrible at getting off stage.
Well, I mean, a lot of bands would want to like kind of soak in the applause, in the admiration of the audience. But no, Justin and Lightbeams, they're done. They're off. They're moving on to the next thing. They got places to be. It's very intense. We hosted Lightbeams on the Kennedy Center's Millennium Stage back in August of 2018. And we last featured Lightbeams on the podcast back in 2017 with the song Feeling Good from their debut self-titled EP. You can see Lightbeams next at the Black Cat on March 12th with Hammered Hulls opening for a band called Algiers.
Oh my God, Lightbeams and Hammered Hulls?
I know.
Paul, can we have a show date?
Yeah, I think so, man. That's going to be an awesome, awesome show.
Cool. So Lightbeams, the problem they outlined regarding traditional rock groups and the end of the guitar era, this kind of spoke to me because I recently went to a show that was very much grounded in this sort of aged format. And that is that I went to a performance from a concert series called Classic Albums Live.
Sounds great.
It was great. I did have concerns, but it like totally exceeded my expectations. So this past Friday, I went with my aunt and uncle to see this Classic Albums Live installment of a performance of David Bowie's The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
That's classic.
It was really, really classic. So I did not know anything about Classic Albums Live, but it is this concert series. They have shows all over North America, like so many dates in all kinds of different cities. And they have musicians performing albums note for note.
Yeah.
And they do it in a really classy way. And this is from the instructions that they give to new members of ensembles. We don't talk to the audience during the album performance and during the second set, the outro set, only sparingly. Mm. We never talk about anything that relates to the outside world. No politics, sports, news events. Never anything like Hello Cleveland or Are You Ready to Rock Chicago. And this was really, it was just really, really classy. Everyone just wore black. There was no pretending to be the band. It wasn't like, you know, there were no costumes,
okay,
which I thought was interesting given Bowie and costumes.
Right.
And they did a really, really faithful job. And I had kind of a high set of expectations that needed to be met because this was a tremendously important album to me in high school. In fact, my senior year of high school, I fronted a Ziggy Stardust cover band.
Oh yeah, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, and we kind of did the opposite of this. We wore costumes. I had a cape.
Yep.
And pretended to be Bowie, put on an accent. And so it was just tremendous to see this album done exactly the way that it was, you know, done on the album. One thing that did happen to me at this show, this is not the first time I received this piece of feedback, but so I did not hear this, but my aunt and uncle told me that people adjacent to them asked if I could please stop singing, singing along. And like, I will describe the sort of reverie that I will experience when like thoroughly like in the rapture of enjoying some kind of media as like being on drugs.
Right.
And that's very much what was happening at this show. Just loving it from start to finish. But I feel bad because like, am I messing up other people's show experience or are they messing up my show experience?
Yeah, it's tough to say. You know, I definitely think that there's a line to be crossed when somebody is being too egregious. But yeah, I mean, if it's a big show and it's loud, then people should be able to sing along.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a wonderful time and I'm so glad I got to go. And it was my birthday present from aunt and uncle.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. So I was afraid it was going to be corny. It ended up being awesome.
Sweet. Gets the Tony seal of approval.
Yep. Let's keep the show going. Who's up next, Paul?
Next up is Time is Fire.
We have declared. That was Time is Fire with a track called We Declare.
The new album by Time is Fire is called In Pieces. It comes out February 28th digitally and on vinyl, and you can pre-order it now via the Bandcamp of Electric Cowbell Records. This album was produced by Brendan Canty. I just think that is so amazing. Brendan Canty, of course, currently of The Mesthetics and formerly of Fugazi. He just seems like the coolest guy. We met him briefly backstage at the Millennium Stage before the Super Silver Haze show, and it was really great. Speaking of the Millennium Stage, we hosted Time is Fire on the Kennedy Center's Millennium Stage back in September of 2018, which I remember most fondly for guitarist Jeff Barksy wearing a sign on his back that said, "I believe Dr. Ford," because that was around the time of the Kavanaugh Supreme Court hearings.
According to Time is Fire, they say that our mission as a band is to snap people out of their fear, says Kamyar Arsani, the band's Iranian-born vocalist and lyricist. The dance element is there to get people out of their seats and moving, and then the lyrics point towards new ways of thinking, feeling, and changing our world.
I must say that early 80s post-punk groove that they got going on.
Oh, yeah, like some Genghis Four business.
Yeah, it's hot. I love it. And yet, like, putting the spin on it with, like, the, you know, Sufi poetry and lyrics that Kamyar brings is, it's such a cool, cool thing.
I love the collision of those two culturally different worlds.
Exactly. We last featured Time is Fire on the podcast in March of 2018 with the song "A Ajaba" from their EP Stories Untold. But for me, nothing matches Violence Brings Violence from their 2015 debut self-titled EP. So if you dug what you heard there, I recommend going back further and taking in their entire catalog.
Time is Fire is playing an album release show Thursday, February 27th at DC9 with Baltimore band Quattrocenta and a Syrian poet and performance artist named Balul.
So, speaking of live music, even though this isn't really live music, this past Saturday, we had my company holiday party for my day job.
Holiday party.
So, yeah, already we're off to a weird start because usually my company's holiday party happens in December, kind of like everybody else's, but they used to be at Policy, which is like 14th and T, and I guess that place is closed.
Gone?
Yeah.
But at least a couple of years now, right? Was it there last year?
It was there last year, yeah. So I think it's been within the past year that Policy has changed around, or I don't know what they're doing. I don't keep up with that place. But so we had to pick a new place. The new venue was the POV Lounge on the rooftop of the W Hotel. I am not a fan of this space. I have seen a couple of bands there before, and while I love the bands that I have seen there, the experience was subpar. I know for a fact that I saw We Were Pirates there, and the views are great, but the vibe, it doesn't want to be a live music venue. People didn't really care about the band, in my opinion. They were just getting drinks and lounging and whatnot. So I haven't been back there in a few years because I think mercifully they stopped having live bands there. But it clearly wants to be like a club kind of vibe. So my company's holiday party is there. So I show up there Saturday. We roll in about 8:15, 8:20 or so. And there's a DJ playing. And it is absolutely deafening. Just deafening. With like the cheesiest pop dance music that he had available to him. But man, it was just deafening. So the music, I mean, we roll in and I'm thinking, this is the time, it's early in the night. You know, we're there to socialize. We're there to talk with our coworkers and whatnot. And they're playing Shots and they're playing Party Rockers and Sexy and I Know It, you know, and
Uptown Funk.
Yep. Oh, you know it. Everybody could make the playlist that this DJ had. I mean, just, we were trying to have conversations with each other, and just most of the time, nobody could hear anybody. And, you know, eventually enough alcohol was consumed at the open bar that people did start dancing. But anyway, so I'm at the party. I'm trying to socialize with some coworkers, and a woman comes up who I know not very well. A couple years ago, when I was coming into the main corporate office kind of one day a week, we were sitting at a table together with some other people. And, you know, we were chatting a bit. I mentioned, oh, you know, I do this DC music thing. Oh, I'm on Instagram. And she goes, oh, what's your thing? I'll follow you on Instagram. So I say Hometown Sounds. She follows me on Instagram. And, you know, over the last couple years or so, I've seen her occasionally like a post that we have posted on our Instagram, you know, viewed our stories that we post on Instagram. But that's about it. And we haven't really, you know, had much of a social interaction since then. You know, she's off working on other projects or whatever. But we know who each other are. So we're at the party. We're talking. I introduce my girlfriend. And she pulls me aside and says, Paul, I thought you had a husband. Because all she's seen is my Instagram and it's you. It's you. She thought this whole time that because all I would do is post photos of you and me, that we were married.
I'm surprised that I've had that amount of that much frequency on our Instagram.
I know. Well, definitely, you know, when we post photos from the podcast or just generally being out or whatever, when you and I are there, you know, that's primarily what, if it's me, it's both of us.
Yeah.
And I don't think she understood this wasn't me. This wasn't my personal Instagram. This is the Instagram of the DC Music media outlet that we run. You know, I don't think she listens to the podcast. I don't think she reads our website or any of that stuff. So, yeah, I think she just thought, oh, this is Paul. And she was wondering, why can't Paul just be himself in the office? Why is he all buttoned up? Why can't he let his freak flag fly? Why can't he let everybody know what he is?
Great job saying freak flag fly. See?
See? There you go. I can nail it. So anyway, I had to burst her bubble and tell her that actually, yes, I am another straight white guy with a girlfriend. And I just like going to shows and playing music. So now I feel like she has to totally reconfigure her idea of who I am. For 2 years now, she's had this idea of me in her head.
That's hilarious. I can't believe somebody thought we were an item.
I know. I was like, he's my podcast partner. I understand that word has connotations, but really, we just make a podcast together.
Yeah, in fact, I'd say most of the time we see each other just once every other week.
I know. So it's a long distance relationship.
But we fly in to make it work.
That's right. So that's the story of my office holiday party.
I'm thrilled. Oh my God.
Yes, indeed. Let's hear some more music. Who do we got next, Tony?
Next, it's the North Country.
All right.
We are not bound by trouble.
So as a podcast co-host, I love doing the occasional shout out to super fans. And this goes out to Jason Mendelsohn. How about those bleep bloops?
Yes. A lot of good bleeping and blooping. That song was called Future Humans by the North Country.
It's a brand new single from Andrew Grossman's band, and it's available to buy for $1 on Bandcamp.
So he says this about the song. He says, I wrote this song as a response to the backward-looking racist nostalgia of our current president. I believe now more than ever, it's important for people to look forward to the future with fearlessness and imagination and not tribalism and hatred. The song is from the perspective of a future collective of people, hopeful, earnest, loving, understanding, and empathetic. It's a projection of what I want the people of the future to be. So that is some deep stuff. You know, there's kind of two kinds of North Country songs. There's the sort of folky acoustic guitar songs, and then there's the sort of spacey, kind of a disco in a way, songs. And this one is definitely more of the latter, which I really dig. It's probably worth going over who is in this band these days. We have Laurel Halsey, also of Balboem, Austin Blanton, also of Near Northeast, Margo McDonald, Joel Gleiser, and Kirk Kubicek, who also plays drums for Miss Friedrich.
We last featured the North Country on the podcast when Mary Jo Matea was our guest star in 2017, and she picked out the last curtain call from their album In Defense of Cosmic Altruism.
And they have another new single coming out in February called Freaks, with a release show for that song scheduled on Saturday, February 29th at DC9 with Dell, Florida.
Psyched to get freaky.
I just had one other topic to mention on this episode. We have some art, of course, with each episode we put out, and this one is going to be a little colorful and weird, so we should probably tell you what the heck is going on in this photo. So somehow, I think I'm going to give credit to my girlfriend for this. I'm pretty sure that she was the one who figured out that we could get a thermal camera and use it to see where in the house there might be leaks of outside air coming in.
Now, whose concern was this initially?
Oh, I mean, I think we had discussed it together of like, we want to be energy efficient. We want to be cozy in the wintertime. And, you know, we just want to take good care of this house. We're renters, but we want to take good care of it. So we thought, like, let's see, you know, if there's any places that we could put a little more insulation or something to mitigate things so everything works a little bit better. So what we figured out is that the Arlington County Public Library will check you out a thermal camera that you can get for a whole week free of charge.
What were the breadcrumbs that led you to learning that you can get a thermal imaging camera from the library?
I think that it might have come from visiting the library a while back and realizing that you can get out garden tools from the library.
What's the connection between garden tools and a thermal imaging camera?
I think that just the whole, like, wow, well, if you can get garden tools, what the heck else can you get for around the house? I'm also quite surprised that you can get board games and puzzles from the library, which I think is adorable.
It's really adorable until you get a puzzle and find there are a couple of pieces missing, and then you're just annoyed.
Always the problem. And yeah, you would think that the puzzles that went back to the library from various people's houses would eventually have missing pieces. But yeah, and maybe it's somebody's job there to just make them and make sure that all the pieces are there. I don't know. So we got this thermal camera.
Sounds like a really great library job.
I know. That'd be great. I'd take that job. So we got this thermal camera, and it turns out that it is an iPhone accessory.
This blew my mind. I was expecting something on a tripod.
Right, exactly. And yeah, it's a little widget, and you plug it into the little lightning port in your iPhone. You download an app, and you basically connect the two things and roam around your house, and you can see, you know, with the various colors where there are hot spots or cold spots, and you could take photos. And you could go, you know, you can be inside, you can see where the cold's coming in. You can go outside and you can see where the warm is coming out. So I did that. I went around and took a bunch of pictures of the house. And now we have some ideas about where to put a little extra padding to keep us a little nice and toasty.
And this image looks like it was from the eyes of a Terminator.
I like that. That's awesome. So I recommend going and checking out your local library and seeing what all cool, weird stuff you can get from them. Because there's probably stuff we haven't even thought of that they have.
Yeah. Paul, take me to the library.
We'll get you a library card. We'll get you all set up.
Let's keep the show going.
Next up, we got Tim Hicks and the Dirty Church.
Hey, Coats and Madness, The Shrimp Boat, Dono and Pat Hicks.
Whatever made
this one for Lil Man, Adrian, Peaches, Big Man, and Mad Mitch. On my Gary Clark, Dick Street, the Bandstand, Rolling Up Molly, Downtown Julie Brown, Kenny G had the repos, Road Trip, know just where he got it, but they raised me not to say this shit, but say it with me now, Georgetown, Alonzo, Chuck Brown, 58th before the condos, Saratoga, South Dakota, No Fargo, Suitland, Tilago, Salters, Blanco, 5th Street, Gonzo's, Fronto, Camacho, Haynes Point, where the dealers with the cars go, Dino's, Rio's, before we had casinos, my uncle face scars, Antonio Pacino, a little bass guy, made Lenny Mr. Free Throws, Silly Me, Timothy, Willie D, Ghetto B-O-I, don't sleep on these streets, counting my sheep though, players ball, wade in the water like Rico.
Whatever made you think I could go on, I can't believe.
Getting sentimental in this motherfucker.
Whatever made you think I could go on? I can't believe one word you say. Whatever made
this one for John Green, Spingon, Phelps, the Bullets, Bernard King. One time for Marion, Mickey, Marvin, Foots, The Gardens. Rest in peace, DJ. Prince, Shooty, Carl, Mooney, Jamal, Fasconi, Mitty, Kermit, Bobby, Lanita, Gloria, Doris, Connie, Fapala, Piggy, Reggie, and Aunt, the Hickses, the Greens, the Baileys, the Harleys, Lisa of the World. They said Denise a different girl ever since she started sniffing on the pearl. From Benin to the Burbs, man, it's just a little herb. King's English on my nouns affecting my little verbs. God bless it be my daughters, my son is the living word. Now, Ammonia's grandchild, growing to a man, wow.
Second consecutive episode where we've had a hip-hop track with that classic hip-hop production.
Mm-hmm. That song was called Bernard by Tim Hicks and the Dirty Church. I tried to figure out what the name of this song was because it's in all caps, B-N-A-R-D. So at first I thought, does it stand for something? Is it an acronym? But I think it is probably a shortening of somebody's name, Bernard. While you were listening to that song, Tony and I were watching the music video for that song, which you should totally check out on YouTube. And it wasn't a lyric video, but there were occasional lyrics that were displayed in the video as the people were singing it. Tim Hicks is the vocalist in the Cornel West Theory, which now goes by the name The Dirty Church. Get it? D.C.? The album is called Bullets, and it's available to buy for $10 on Bandcamp via Humble Monarch Recordings. And Mr. Hicks had this to say about the album. It's a time capsule, a moment that may never be recreated. I put the love in. I did my research. I took myself through thoughts of days, both lovely and ugly, but mostly beautiful in the face of tough times. I'm an 80s kid who remembers hearing R.E., that's Rare Essence, and Junk, that's Junkyard Band, during the summer. I remember the ice cream truck and the candy lady. I remember the Ibex and Dinos. I was actually there. The real ones know because they were there with me. I'm not capping at all. I really love my folks. I really love my city. I'm really for DC. Go find this album. Go listen like you would if I was a platinum selling artist. The difference is the gem is in the music. Then go vote for the truth. Straight out of Northeast. That way. Sincerely from the soul, Timothy John Hicks. And I will say there is a lot of old DC in this whole album. I mean, the whole song really was like a tribute to a lot of the people he remembers and, you know, some of the places that he grew up. There is a song that we thought about playing from this album. And those of you who like this sort of thing should totally go check it out. It's called Jim Vance. And, you know, Tony and I both grew up in this area, so we remember Jim Vance.
We saw that song title and both like independently that out.
Exactly.
Oh, I remember watching so much Jim Vance.
Oh, I know, man. He was the best. It was the Channel 4 NBC local news anchor along with Doreen Gensler. And man, Jim Vance was the best.
By the way, I mean, we got to include some love for Pat Collins.
Oh, yeah, all of them. Arch Campbell, George Michael, Wendy Rieger. Oh,
I've heard Wendy Rieger would get sloppy at events.
I still have a crush on Wendy Rieger. I don't care what anybody else says about that. I'm willing to admit it. But let's hear some more music on the podcast.
Next, it's Wicked Sycamore.
This pond is a barrel, they're shooting me down. Bigger the fish, easier the target. Get out of town. So I'll run, run, run. So I'll run, run, run. So I'll run, 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 run. This journey has just begun.
Wicked Sycamore with a track called Break the Barrel. Wicked Sycamore is the three-piece folk band featuring guitar, mandolin, cello, and ukulele. Wonderful combination of instruments. Their debut EP came out in December 2018. It was called Growing Roots. This ditty, called Break the Barrel, comes from the Right Way Sessions Volume 1, a three-song EP that came out a few weeks ago. We really love the mashed-up metaphors of big fish in a small pond and like shooting fish in a barrel. Also, I played a funny iPhone game a couple months back in which you would wield a gun that was a barrel and it would shoot fish.
That sounds awesome.
It was a lot of fun. Your next chance to see Wicked Sycamore live is this Friday, January 31st in Timonia, Maryland, north of Baltimore at the Poulet Coop on York Road for Bluegrass Night, along with Baltimore Jamgrass Pioneers Finewood and Rotisserie Pickin. I didn't read that ahead of time.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of vibe that is, but it sounds really fun. And if it wasn't so dang far away, I would like to go to that show.
This show sounds like a hoot and a holler.
Oh, yes. And that almost takes all of us, you, me, and everyone else listening, to the end of this episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast. So please subscribe to it, your podcast app of choice. What do we got? Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Overcast, all the good ones. Whatever you got, we're in it. We are on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Hometown Sounds. The website is hometownsoundsdc.com. We got show recommendations, music videos, podcasts, That's pretty much it. We have an email address. It's dj@hometownsoundsdc.com.
Keep sending us your music.
Thank you for doing so. But really, of course, the important thing is to support the musicians that you've heard on this podcast by buying their music.
And seeing them play live.
And we have one last track for you. This is Drew Beckman and the Boundary Boys with a song called Blue Ridge Mountain Boy. This comes from Drew Beckman's debut EP called Blue Horses. It is available on all the streaming platforms. Drew Beckman wasn't a musician, but woke up one day with a song in his head. His friends encouraged him to write more and more, and now he's DC's queer cowboy singer.
I love this backstory because it sounds like a tall tale.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. Back in May of 2019, Chris Richards wrote a profile for the Washington Post of Drew Beckman and his origin story, and it was really fun. His band is called the Boundary Boys. They came from the open mic nights at Boundary Stone, run by Reed Doherty, a.k.a. Reed Appleseed. And this quote from that Chris Richards article kind of sums up Drew Beckman's songwriting. He says, all the songs for Drew Beckman and the Boundary Boys are written from the perspective of a queer cowboy living in the 1800s. I think the cowboy is the perfect metaphor for the queer experience. It's lonely and isolating. Throughout most of American history, if you were a queer person, you were guaranteed a lonely, difficult, hard, sad life. And if you dared to express your feelings or present yourself in an authentic way, your life was on the line. So that's a very interesting connection of, you know, the idea of writing really kind of morose country songs and connecting that with the queer experience.
Also, Paul and I watched a music video for this song, and it was a performance with Drew and his two bandmates, and Drew is dressed like a cowboy, and his two bandmates are wearing like shorts and t-shirts, and it's really funny to see.
Yes, indeed. They were all wearing fine regalia when I saw them play last Friday night at DC9 to a packed house. They also performed a cover of Home on the Range,
which makes me reflect on the fact that I don't know any lyrics beyond Home on the Range, where the deer and the antelope roam.
Play.
Not see.
Yes. And where seldom is heard a discouraging word.
Whoa.
Yeah. I learned it as we were singing. So, yeah.
So this makes me think of like Auld Lang Syne. Like, yeah. I know like four words of it.
Exactly. You sort of just drunkenly pretend like you know all the words and everybody else does too. And it's great. So, yeah, it was a fantastic show. I was really pleased to see so many people come out for it. And definitely keep your eyes peeled for more Drew Beckman shows. If you like this song, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Paul.
We will see you all next time.
Blue Ridge Mountain Boy gave me shelter, brought me joy. Blue Ridge Mountain Boy, come on, take me home. Blue Ridge Mountain Boy, gave me shelter, brought me joy. Blue Ridge Mountain Boy, come on, take me home. Found a boy across the woods, gave his smile like took my hand and made it good 7 years ago. Shown a love couldn't miss, fire smoke when we kissed. Kept it secret, whispered bliss, gave me happiness. Blue Ridge Mountain Boy gave me shelter, brought me joy. Genuine. Then he left and called it sin, never to return. Sometimes I can't help but think on a lonely night and a whiskey drink. Can I bind this severed link? Can I ever find? Blue Ridge Mountain Boy gave me shelter, brought me joy.
Blue Ridge Mountain Boy, come on, take me home. Blue Ridge Mountain Boy, gave me shelter, brought me joy. Blue Ridge Mountain Boy,